is we're trying to talk about with Reverend Al Sharpton, who's the president of National Action Network, this morning, because we want to get the facts surrounding the Jordan Davis murder in Jacksonville, Florida. Jordan was a 17-year-old high school student. And what we wanted to do is, you know, just get the facts from him. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show our friend, Reverend Al Sharpton. Reverend.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good morning to you. Well, you know, we hate that this is always the situation, but we like to go straight to the mountaintop when we're talking about issues like this, because you're the person that we can always count on. So you've gotten involved here. Give us the information so far on this case, Reverend.
Well, we have looked at it. Nash Action Network's board member, Bishop Rudy McKissick, pastors the largest church there in Jacksonville. The family has taken the public position that they do not feel race was involved, but they're going to be guided by where it goes with the courts. We are concerned because we are seeing the same law being used that was used to defend Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin, the Stand Your Ground law. I'm in Washington, D.C. right now at a African-American leadership meeting, and we're talking about trying to press the federal government to overturn this law. We can't have a law, Steve, where someone can say they have a right to kill based on they thought they were under threat. There was no threat. This man says that one of the young men in the car with Jordan pointed a shotgun, and they've never found a shotgun. There was no argument. There was no confrontation. It was him saying, don't play the music loud. Got into some kind of back and forth, and he shot into a car 7 or 8 times and killed this young man. Now, where it is not similar to Trayvon is there witnesses here. There is clearly a case of there was no scuffle. Where it is similar to Trayvon is that you have an unprovoked attack, and you have a man using the Stand Your Ground law. This is a threat to everyone, and I think that we all should and must respect the wishes of the family on how to proceed, as we did with Trayvon. I came into Trayvon at the request of the family. We rallied in March. We will not do whatever the family does not want done in this matter. But we must deal with this Stand Your Ground law, because this is a threat to everyone. So we want everyone to be alerted to that, and we will, as this case goes forward, keep everyone informed.
Okay, Reverend, let me ask a couple of questions I've been hearing. I don't know. This guy, Michael Dunn, now he's admitted to shooting. Has he admitted to the shooting?
He's admitted to the shooting.
And and there were witnesses who saw him shoot and flee the scene.
Fled the scene, shot and fled the scene, and then comes back later with this story to his lawyers that he, in fact, claimed that one of the young men in the car with Jordan, who is the victim, had a shotgun. Yet the police did not recover a shotgun and has not, at this point, recovered a shotgun at the scene. Now, what did happen, Steve, differently here than Trayvon, which is why you did not see a lot of the rallying and protest marching, is Dunn was arrested the day after and now has been charged. And a lot of people think we just march and protest, we marched and protested. The injustice with Trayvon is they had announced they were not going to arrest Zimmerman until we went down there, and then we forced a special prosecutor, and then he was arrested. This case, there is an arrest, there is a charge. The question is how it plays out in court, and the question is the Stand Your Ground law.
Okay, now, I heard a report that the woman in the vehicle with Michael Dunn, who did the shooting, said they fled because they thought that the boys were going to come back. I didn't understand that when I heard that. What happened to the vehicle? After they shot into the vehicle, did the boys stay there at the gas station in the car?
I'm not clear on whether they stayed at the in the car at the gas station. Clearly, there was a police called and the ambulance called, and the young man Jordan taken to the hospital. But it seems to me to be a stretch at best and a outrage, in fact, to say that you shoot in a vehicle 7 or 8 times, know you probably hit somebody, and you leave the scene feeling that the people you shot at, none of whom shot back at you, so therefore you had no reason to believe that they had any weapons, that you thought they were coming back when you were the only one shooting something and you were the only one with a weapon.
Right, right. This, Reverend, tragedy. Like, I know the family doesn't want to turn this into a race issue because they wanted to keep it about whatever it is. Here's my concern, and this is what I said earlier about it, and I wish everybody would consider. Whether it's Trayvon Martin or it's this young man, Jordan Davis, okay, let's take color out of it for a second, no matter what color you are. If this was your teenage boy who you had put your life into, who was filled with hopes and dreams and promises, if this had happened to your child, black or white, brown, yellow, green, how would you feel about this situation? Just imagine if it were your son. What would you want to happen to George Zimmerman or to Michael Dunn? Now, put race in it. The part that's troubling to me and so many of us, for those of us who have sons, I got 3 sons, 15, 21, 21. Now, I'm imagining the life that they have. They listen to loud music. They walk to the store and get Skittles. This could happen to one of my sons. And the only stories we hear about this happening to is always a little black boy. So right. Now, that's where we at with it, really.
Well, I agree with you, and I agree with you, respect the family, but at the same time, we've got to ask the question, why is it always on our side of town and why these laws exist? And there are those that want to say we're in a post-racial generation, but they're those that have never faced racism. We've got to deal with reality, and the reality says that it only seems to happen with us, and these laws are enforced with us. And if this case was not based on race, then even the law is unfair. But clearly, when you look at what's happened in 1 year alone, Steve, we've had Trayvon Martin and now this young man, Jordan. Yeah. In 1 year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we cannot sit back and act like there's not a developing pattern here around this stand your ground law and deal with this.
Yeah. Well, Reverend Al, thank you again for calling in, taking up the time, sir. And we're going to rely on you to keep us posted. If there's anything we need to do or get involved in, we'll be waiting on you and the National Action Network to inform us. So thank you again,
Absolutely.
Sir.
Absolutely.
Man. And Reverend Al, can I say something on a personal note? I've been watching you on the Ed Show, and I've been watching you on MSNBC. I must now give you the award for the sharpest dressed news commentator in the country, sir.
Well, you only saying that because you send me your suits after you wear them twice.
All right.
I love you, man.
Coming up,
I love you.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.